Okay, Ron. Thank you so much. Thank you for prayer, and thank you for loving. We're really wonderful and great. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and although we're a little bit behind, but we'll go as far as we can go with our tape message tonight, and then if we don't finish it, we'll finish it next time. This is, we're going to be back in Jeremiah, and we're going to be dealing again with the notes that we found on the potter's house in Jeremiah 18. And this is going to be study 68 in our study of walk. And walk occurs in this chapter in verse 12 and 15. But we're probably going to keep going with these notes tonight because do these things. Because a couple of weeks before that, when we were doing our studies, we studied in Jeremiah 13, and then we went to 18, and it was dealing with symbols. And God was giving to Jeremiah the understanding that things that weren't profitable anymore. And this was the way that Israel was with God. And he was about to give up on them for a while. And so so this was the reason of these things. Of course, the linen girdle and the jars of the yin-yang, the wine, and that we found in 13. And then we get over here in 18. And God tells Jeremiah to go down to a potter's house. And he tells him that he's going to show him what the lesson is when he, or what he needs to deliver to the people when he gets down to the potter's house. And we went through the six verses there in Jeremiah 18. And there was a note there in Jeremiah 2 where it says the potter's house. And the lesson that was given there is a lesson to a future new nation. And it also says this in the note. And I had never thought about this very much, but I wanted to mention it again. And so this is the Jehovah never mends what man has marred. The things that God has given to us, you know, when we go back and we look, we see that God made these things in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. But, you know, he says, in especially in chapter 2 of Genesis, that when he did it, that it was good. Even in 3, that when the things he did in chapter 3, that but we know that that didn't hold up. So we find that Jehovah never tries to fix what man has marred. He always substitutes that for something new. Okay, did you get that? That it's something new that God puts in the place of what man has marred. So God is not in the business of fixing. And this was the lesson that was in where God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You see, the potter didn't do something that was right. And so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And so he used the same clay. And that is, you know, a real telling thing there because what he was wanting Jeremiah to deliver to the people was to say, as the potter did with his clay. Because as clay, it was in the potter's hands, and so ye are in mine hands, O house of Israel. So, God is only limited by that he chooses to say about himself. And so God had given unto Abraham and to Abraham's seed all these things, the promises and the covenants that he made with them. He gave it to them for eternity. And so God has literally set boundaries for himself according to the people of Israel, but he wanted them to know, and he wanted it put by Jeremiah in their minds that they were like the clay and he was the potter. And so therefore he only limits himself. And so he has limited himself to do that, but yet this was a lesson that the people of Israel were to carry off with them when they were carried into captivity. And God was ready to turn his back on them and let them go and be carried around the known world at that time as slaves, those that survived that. And so we get a list of things here that is in this lesson that has been set for us about the potter's house. And he talks here right straight off the bat about a new nation. And also there are eight other applications to look at here also. And in the person that did the notes there is dealing with the things that got marred by man and the things that were put in place new by Jehovah. And those eight things, of course, were, the covenant and the ordinances, the priesthood, the kings, man, and of course, the body, that man, marred his own body. And of course, the heaven and the earth. And then, the eight was the church. And these, but God has put forth, the things that were necessary to make them new, because he just didn't fix them. There's a difference between repairing something and, of course, making it new. And we got down to the number three where we left off last week. And it was the priesthood. Okay, we're going to go from scripture to scripture, and we're just going to read the scripture tonight, because I think it's necessary that we remind ourselves as to what God has done with these people, and as we deal with that through these Old Testament books, we can see and understand where it is a temporary thing, because what he is going to set anew, substitute something new, is going to be after he tells you about the situation that he finds them in. So it's in the third one is the priesthood, and I'd like for you to turn with me to Hebrews 7. We're going to go to Hebrews 7 first, and we're going to read quite a lot. In Hebrews 7 there is on page 1833 if you have a companion Bible. And you say, well, Cecil, you... Hebrews 7. 18, page 1833.
You just want to leave it, leave one,
don't find
for that
gun. Hebrews 7, okay.
No,
All right. Hebrews 7, we're gonna start in Hebrews 7 with verse 11 and go to 28. I guess at the end of the chapter, yeah. Hebrews 7:11. Now, keep in mind, the marring and the making new, okay? He says, if therefore perfection, Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Amen. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. So you see the reason why there was the need of something new. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Amen. Verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were made priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, by him seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as though high priest, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So that gives you the understanding of the situation of the priest there, and the understanding that, yes, we had priests that were called by men, but this was the one that God wanted, you know, and it was his son, without doubt. And the priesthood still lives through this most precious gift that we have, because he is the one that holds and keeps everything that has been given to him at this point. And we know that all things haven't been put under him yet, but they will be. They will be to where God will be all and in all. So you see, there had to be a change actually in the law and in the priesthood. And that's very important that we need to remember that and to keep that on our mind again. It's very profitable and very uplifting for each of us to know that he is there, that he is what it says, that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Okay, having said that, let's go to the fourth one that had to be dealt with, and this was the situation of kings. If you remember way back when it says, when they said, give unto us a king. We want a king like other people, other men have. And so the people chose one that God didn't want. But God let him reign for 40 years. He gave him his probationary period, and then he took it away from him, and he gave it, of course, to David. And David was the one that always that God wanted. Turn with me back to 2 Samuel 7. I want to go to 2 Samuel 7, and we're going to go a good ways back, because this is on page 417.
What page?
417. Second Samuel 7, we're going to read there verses 8 through 16. 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 16. Okay, it says this in 2 Samuel 8. 7, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. I'm looking at verse 8. I said 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee wheresoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of the wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And so we see right there that is a prophecy that we find too. Because it talks about David and his sepulcher is with us to this day. When Peter was speaking there after they crucified the Lord and he arose and ascended back into heaven. So, you see the promise of God is true and amen. And he says, so he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Okay? But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And so we read in 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 16 there about David and establishing his throne and doing away with Saul, the one that the people wanted that was never lined up with God in that respect. And he says, I'll have to chasten David a little bit, but we're going to keep him straight. Okay, so we find there 2 Samuel 8 through 16 is another telling view of what God wanted done about the people even marring the king's seat, and God raising someone up that people would not have thought of to raise up, somebody that was a tender of the sheep. And we know about all of the events, or a lot of the events that happened there, and how that David came about to be in the position to do this. Look with me to Psalms 72. Chapter 72 of Psalms is on page 787. And we're going to read Psalm 72. We need to do that. 787. Okay, have that marked. And it worked out. Page 787. Psalm 72. And this is the prayers, or the last prayer of David, where he is making these prayers to God. He ends with Psalm 72. So we're going to read the whole of 72, and he's doing this for Solomon, his son, which was going to follow him, because we just read where that was the way that it was going to come down. That it doesn't say it right out straight, but David was not allowed to build the house of God because he was one that shed blood in that situation. And so, but he always helped and stayed in God's stead to the point to where he was chastised and straightened out again. And so this is a prayer for his son, Solomon, that was going to build that house that had been promised. Okay? So Psalm 72 says, give the king the judgments, O God. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their souls from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood